So we're speaking this morning with Ted Widmer, who's assistant to President Chris Paxson of Brown for Special Projects. Ted, on the 250th anniversary of this school, you've actually written a history of Brown that I believe is going to be published in September. What are some of the highlights of it?
Well, for anyone who loves Rhode Island history, as you do and I do, it's a great Rhode Island story. It's a university that was founded in 1764, founded by the Baptist denomination, but for a lot of reasons fit right into Rhode Island and educated many thousands of Rhode Islanders throughout the centuries, and in the 20th century really grew to be a very important American institution. The seventh oldest in the country, but it occupies a very special niche, a small Ivy League college with a specialty in graduating strong individuals, and we've seen a lot of them. We saw a lot of turbulence in the 1960s that led to the kinds of demonstrations you saw on a lot of Ivy League campuses against the Vietnam War. But then here, more than at the others, a revolution in teaching. And the students wanted to have more of a role in their own education. And Brown, to a surprising degree, pulled off a successful teaching revolution. So it's always marched to the beat of its own drummer, still does, always will. And I think does a lot of good here in the community.
I think you're talking a little bit about the so-called new curriculum, which was a real break with the past.
That's right.
And this comes in what, the late 60s, Ted?
1969. It's a very interesting process. Students are agitated about a lot of issues across the 1960s, beginning with little regulations about where and when they can spend time with the opposite sex, and then quite a bit more agitation about the Vietnam War and about race relations, treatment of the poverty here in Rhode Island specifically. And then out of all that ferment, a group of students began to look closely at how they were learning. And that was an area where they really could solve problems. Some of those other ones were too big for them to solve, but that one they could. And a very thoughtful process began that I think worked out well.
How do you think Brown's educational mission and history compare with its other Ivy League institutions?
I think Brown's smallness and relative poverty vis-a-vis Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, they used to be liabilities. And over the course of time, in the 20th century especially, they turned into strengths because Brown was just a little more innovative, a little more attentive to the needs of the individual student, a little more fun, I'd say. I went to Harvard, and I have to say Brown is a lot of fun in comparison to the bigger Ivies.
Less structured?
Much less structured, but not just chaotic. I think sometimes people put down the new curriculum as too loose, but in fact, students have a responsibility to design their curriculum, and they take that seriously, and they don't waste time with a lot of distribution courses that are forced up upon them. And I think, we now have the benefit of a lot of time to look into how it's turned out, and it has turned out well. Brown has gotten better and better and better, and the happiness index is through the roof.
It seems that Brown is more focused on undergraduate learning than some of the other Ivy League schools, where they seem overwhelmed by the graduate programs.
That is absolutely true. There's been a big push in the last generation to develop a bigger and bigger medical school, and we're going to see even more change as the Knowledge District comes into place, and there are other graduate schools, but still the overwhelming emphasis is on the undergraduate, and that's the center of the campus. It's the center of energy at Brown University, and I think always will be, and that does set Brown apart. At the others, it's not that way.
Brown's always admitted a somewhat higher percentage of Rhode Islanders than students from other states. How's that resonated with a college's mission in our cozy little state?
Well, there will always be tensions. Brown literally sits upon the hill. I mean, it's like an ivory tower in some ways looking down at downtown Providence. But it also sprang up out of the earth of Rhode Island. It was a lot of Rhode Islanders were instrumental in its founding and have always gone here. And I think Brown has always tried to live up to its responsibility as a good neighbor. And the two are inseparable, as far as I can tell, and have been at every juncture of both of our histories, Brown's and Rhode Island. So
we've certainly seen a major change, though, in the points of town-gown relationships. I'll never forget when I first covered City Hall in Providence back in the 80s. there were still some professors who, because of grandfathered-in rules, didn't have to pay property taxes. And now, in Providence, and now, of course, Brown is actually making payments to its host city.
Right. Well, I think everyone's trying to get it right. Brown was not unique in not paying taxes. In fact, universities and churches don't around the country. But Brown is a special institution in Rhode Island and needs to shoulder its weight in the ways that it can. And so I think there's a strong desire to be a good neighbor on Brown's part. And to draw from Rhode Island students is a great source of strength for Brown. This is a state full of great students. Some are going to schools in wealthier sections of the state, and many are not. And I think Brown really needs to reach out to all Rhode Islanders. And that was one of the main issues of the 60s before the new curriculum came in, was how can Brown be a good neighbor to all of Providence and all of Rhode Island?
Certainly, there seems to be a move to become more engaged with the community. We see the outreach and things like the Knowledge District, the old jewelry mm-hmm. district. We see that Brown has over 1,000 people working down there now. So do you think the university's trying to tear down the walls and change the image of the cloister up on the hill?
I do. I think the Knowledge District is hugely symbolic. Brown has never been below that hill. It's expanded over the top of the hill onto the other side in a few places, but never to downtown. And I think it's a great meeting place for not only Brown and Rhode Island, but the other universities that are also coming into the Knowledge District and the hospitals. And it is a great way for all of us to learn and live together. And I think it's not just an act of generosity. It really helps Brown to be a better university. To know the fullness of life where you live is part of learning. And we want students to be well-rounded and to make the 21st century better. And so for them to get out there and meet different kinds of people is a part of education.
Ted Widmer, thanks so much for being here this morning.
My pleasure, Scott. Anytime.